Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Okay, second down and nine.
Hey, there's a little boy right there!
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
Jag back.
It's so hot.
Isn't this great?
I like that one.
Hi, this is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Hi, Jen.
Jag back.
It's so hot.
We always pay dearly for chasing after what is cheap.
Talking it out big, Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We're out of here in an hour. Adam Oslin will be along with Clipper pregame. We've got Clippers Warriors tonight, 7 p.m. tip. Tomorrow, we will have UCLA Arizona State, 7:30 tip. That means we're off at 7 for pregame, so it will be a full 4-hour Petros and Money show.
With a film fight, a Marty Cove film fight.
Celebrating our guest from earlier in the week as Cobra Kai 3 is garnering tens of millions of views upon its release just a couple days ago.
Death Race 2000.
Versus?
The White Buffalo. Death Race.
Two classics.
2000 versus The White Buffalo.
I believe mid-70s.
77.
Versus?
87 or 84, 83.
Mid-80s. Late 70s, mid-80s, Martin Cove peak productions.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tomorrow, we can't wait, and we can't wait for you to podcast the show. If you missed anything, you can't afford to. We had a great conversation earlier with Tom Telesco. We got one coming up with Blake Treinen. You can podcast or stream everything live on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. If you want to listen to the Clippers, it's coming up at 6. Like we said, we have the Dodgers talk every Monday night. And Matt, it's time for the final hour fun fact.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour three.
Hey, we're taking a lot of thunder out of Dodger talks, Puzo.
You ain't kidding.
You know, with the Treinen interview, Vasse sitting there on his hands without able to do anything.
Like, nothing you can do till Monday.
Guy at McDonald's without a mouth. He's screwed.
Federal guidelines. Did you know? Federal guidelines require, actually, I'll ask each of you, Tim Cates in front of the mic as well. How long do you think the white lines are on the U.S. freeway system? Or really, on any given street, the white lines that separate lanes? Take a guess.
Wrong, dumbass! I ask the questions on this show. I don't like people asking me questions.
It's okay if you're wrong.
I don't like it. 3 yards.
9 feet, you're going? Cates?
The white lines between lines.
White lines between lanes. How long do you think they are?
I'm going to say 15 feet.
They're probably really long, and they seem short because you're driving so fast.
That is interesting. You went 9 feet. He went 15 feet. The average answer is 2 feet, and they're 10 feet. And the distance between each white line is 30 feet. Yet you are traveling at such a high rate of speed that many folks mistake them for being a lot shorter.
You get that fever.
Than like, they are, right?
Like Mad Max.
Exactly right. 10 feet separated by 33, it is a federal guideline that requires them to be uniform, no matter which freeway you are on.
Well, all right. It's good to know. The more you know, the better person you are.
Exactly right.
Everybody loves a know-it-all. It is time. So 10 feet.
10 feet.
Oh, I'm going to pull that on somebody.
Separated by 30 feet.
10 by 30. Got it.
It's time. I like your yards, though. You could always go 3.1 yards to really flex.
3.1. It is time for the quick hits.
The PMS quick hits. I make it quick, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Old Easter Island head Trevor Lawrence, Matt, post a nostalgic video thanking Clemson instead of the statement with the colors on, you know, in the nice backdrop that we see.
Little video action.
A lot of that. A message for the Trojan family. And then the thing, you know, or for this, the Clemson family. All the memories during his 3 years, one of the great quarterbacks in college football history, at least modern history. No Heisman for him, but hey, no Heisman for Peyton Manning either. And he's still the greatest. So way to go, Trevor Lawrence.
His reward will be the number one overall pick in the draft. So while maybe there is no Heisman attached to it, at least he'll have that going for him, which I believe is nice.
He will wear many crowns in heaven, crowns that Jason White does not have.
That's fair.
Chan Gailey quits as Dolphins OC. Only yesterday, Miami's head coach Brian Flores vowed his coaching staff would stay intact for next season, and Chan Gailey said, no!
I do not like the way social media has reacted to you saying the coaching staff was going to stay intact. I don't like being called a saboteur for the career of Tua. Moving forward,
my feelings are destroyed.
I am an old man who does not need this in his life.
I'm taking my crew neck sweater, and I'm going home.
See you later.
Browns head coach Jack Steffens.
No. Stefanski.
Said his team is full speed ahead for this weekend's
Carl
game.
Carl Stefanovic.
We're in the white pages. After the team received no further COVID-19 positive results today, the Browns training facility will stay closed today as they get ready. Built-in excuse for miserable Cleveland people. That's what I say.
Makes it a happy ending for the season. Instead of just getting throttled by the Steelers at full strength, like, yeah, that was great that you made the playoffs, but man, was that ugly the way it ended. Now you have an excuse. Our head coach had COVID. Our left guard had COVID. What do you expect?
You know, Ben might look old that day. With these old guys, they're not as consistent. Ben might have a bad day.
Maybe they win.
And then you put the Terminator, the reverse Terminator on James Conner, the Terminator 2, the liquid guy.
Oh, yeah.
The Kawhi mode.
And next thing you know, Cleveland's on to the next round.
Jason Kelce confessed in an Instagram post, the Eagles center, that nothing turned confrontational.
Is that right? So from his earlier social media tirade that all the players were pissed that Hurts got pulled and they play to win the game and we have integrity and how dare you do that to us, to, hey Jason, I don't know if you noticed, but that was called down from the top. Half the team wasn't playing.
I don't understand and, why.
I don't get it. I don't.
Doug Peterson, you bastard. It's like, do you think that guy doesn't have a boss?
Did you not see the roster that was fielded in that game? It's not just a quarterback. No defensive backfield. Half the defensive line was out.
I really don't understand the way people react to this kind of stuff.
The only reason they did is because Washington was terrible. They assumed they were going to get blown out 28-0 at the half, and it's like, yeah, whatever. And instead,
we're playing too well. Get the quarterback out.
Jesus.
Jason Kelce had to walk it back, and so did Nick Saban's daughter. She's apologized for saying Ohio State was trying to kick the can down the road to help Justin Fields recover from his syringe benefits.
Yeah. Maybe just sit that one out there, daughter of Saban.
It's still not certain.
Didn't you see how that worked out for Herb Street?
Yeah, you can't say that.
How it worked out for George Reitster?
You're still scheduled to play at a championship game. George is still sitting pretty.
He is. Yeah.
What? What? Somebody said?
Wait a minute.
There's still a chance that because of COVID and a certain position group within the Ohio State program, I think it's the holders, the game might get moved back a week.
Well, you can't play a game without a holder?
No.
What are you going to do?
No, we can't have Fields do it.
Heck no.
Right now, the Tide is favored by 8. And Matt, we have some hoops tonight right here on the station.
Well, we got the Lakers who are off. They will host the Spurs tomorrow as the Spurs were in town last night against the Clips. Tonight, the Clips stay at home. Actually, and by at home, I mean up there in Northern California. They will take on the Warriors.
You know,
yeah, same home state.
You know, we're all Californians here.
Golden State Warriors versus Clips, San Francisco. First time, I believe, in the new stadium, even though they had it open last year for the Clippers and Warriors. 7 p.m. tip, 6 p.m. for Adam Austin.
Clippers never played up there, you think?
I don't think so, right? Or did they?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, maybe they did. I'm typically wrong on most things.
Okay, that in mind, Blake Trinan will join us next as the Petros and Money Show continues on AM 570 LA Sports. We're talking baseball with a big Dodger.
This hour of the Petros and Money Show podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah! Blue Chew.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, guys.
No, it's not.
Blue Chew brings you the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. Now in a chewable form, the first ever to do it.
Yeah, it does. And you can even do it with a full stomach and still get the lead you need in your pencil.
Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and be all embarrassed or wait in line at the pharmacy.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who cares? Like, you're the only one that wants to have a real pencil going, you know what I'm saying, brother? With all the lead necessary to do the job?
It ships right to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we got a special deal for the listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And your first shipment is free when you use the special promo code PMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
To hell with being embarrassed. Scream it from the rooftops. I chew blue with Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. Promo code PMS. Try it free.
Petros and Money. Available on the free iHeartRadio app. Now.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports. We're your home of the Dodgers, and we are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Remember, as your home of the World Series champion Dodgers, you can catch off-season Dodger Talk every single Monday night, 7 p.m. Our dear friend, David Vasse, will give you 1 hour of Dodger Talk leading up to spring training every single Monday at 7. And you can listen to every single Dodger game on AM 570. And another great reason to download the number one podcast app in all the land, iHeartRadio. You'll be able to listen to all the Dodgers games when you are not near a terrestrial broadcast. Again, that is the iHeartRadio app on your home of the Dodgers.
Play it!
Call strike three! The Dodgers win! Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy.
Let them flow!
Tonight, there is joy in Mudville. The curse of 88 is
88 and out the gate. Joining us now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, a lot of people thought this guy was going to slip away from the Dodgers, but they knew how important he was.
Damn right.
And what an important part he is of that Dodger pitching staff. Joining us now, straight out of Kansas. Let's go Shockers. Wichita forever. And a Dodger pitcher for the foreseeable future. A man who, just like Teen Wolf in the great movie, he won in the end. He got the contract. Got the ring.
Got the ring. Got the celebration he deserved. It was a major part closing down games out of that bullpen.
Great attitude. And he celebrated on the Petros and Money Show today. And they still talk about him in the leagues. It's Blake Trinan on PMS. Congratulations. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You know, that's got to feel pretty good. Were you pretty freaked out over, I mean, I know it feels good to win the World Series. I'm a slappy, but I have to imagine that it felt great to win the World Series, but there was some anxiety about what was going to happen next for you.
Yeah, I mean, what a blessing that was to get to, you know, rush the field and celebrate the World Series with the Dodgers. I mean, just the players and the front office and everything combined. That's like a true like team experience. And man, like to be able to come back and experience the next couple of years with them is going to be pretty special. So, you know, the time after the World Series, I honestly just didn't put too much thought into it. I left it into the hands of my agent. We kind of discussed what was important to me. And, you know, I think I'm just forever grateful that the Dodgers, you know, we're able to communicate what was important to them, what was important to us, and we got a deal done. And I'm just really excited to be back in LA and compete with a winning team.
Kind of go back to why you were here last season and how you ended up here. We have seen the Dodgers do this every offseason. They find that reliever that ends up becoming a major part and arguably the most important part of their bullpen, and it's someone that wasn't on the team the season prior. What was that negotiation like? What other options did you have? Was it always the Dodgers? And I would imagine it's got to be darn rewarding for you and the team to have it end the way it did.
Well, I'll say there's always, I mean, going into free agency, especially off of a World Series, there's always that, you know, that soft spot in your heart where you want to go back to the team that you did it with. But at the end of the day, we had to make a decision that was best for my family. and there was multiple teams in the running, a lot of strong offers, but, you know, Andrew and the ownership, they did such a great job of working with me to get me back, and it was just that once they you know, laid out details, it was a no-brainer to go back to L.A. I mean, it was, I didn't know, like, how it was going to happen. I mean, sitting back and, you know, they're signing all these studs, and, you know, they've already got so many studs on the team. I didn't know if there was going to be any room, but they were really good at communicating along the way that, you know, we're still interested. And then, you know, about a week ago, things just started gaining momentum and, you know, for multiple teams. And then the Dodgers, they did such a great job of working with us, and we were able to get the deal done.
You had a heck of a season with them. And again, like I said, we see it quite a bit with guys that make their way down here for their first year. They just, whatever, they improve. You end up maybe finding things. I mean, it's not like you're a rookie or a guy. You've been in the league for, what, six, 7 years. What is it that might be different about that bullpen, about the pitching coaches, whether it's guys that are coming through the farm system or free agency? It just seems to be a really good a place to pitch.
Well, I think they do such a great job of giving you all the information you need to compete. There's nothing left to doubt when you get on the mound. What are your strengths? We're going to match you up the best way we can for you to have success so that we can have success. And, you know, for some guys, it doesn't really matter who they're facing. And they go out and they just compete. For other guys, they kind of know, like, hey, this part of the lineup, I know when I'm going to be ready. So mentally, you're set. You know what innings, roughly, what part of the lineup. You're always prepping yourself as the lineup rolls over. Okay, I'm maybe like, you know, 5, 6, 7. Or, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the lineup. And, you know, once it gets past those guys, you kind of just start looking for what inning is it that part of the lineup will stack up again. And you prep yourself. And what they did for me and what they do so well with other pitchers on that in the bullpen and on the starting rotation is they simplify what your strengths are. And once you get those down strong again and you're executing and you're getting the characteristics you like out of them and you're getting the results, like, okay, so how can we make you more dynamic? And that, for me, it was, hey, now we can finally go back to adding that cutter again. And, you know, it really just kind of was refreshing seeing the process play out and being able to buy into that organization. Because, you know, they invested a lot into me and my family, and it's easy to invest in their approach towards me as a player when they've invested that much into me. So I think it was just a great match. I feel like it still is a great match. We're just so blessed. I feel like, you know, God has just, you know, blessed us more than we could ever imagine. And, you know, all the glory to him for everything that happened last year and hopefully for things that are going to happen these next couple of years. So,
Doxa to Theo is right. All glory to God in Greek. You were lights out in the postseason, and you never seemed caught up in the moment. Maybe it was divine. No stress levels that people see in pitchers, like in those innings. People usually see guys, and you're like watching at home, and you're like, man, that guy's freaking out, man. And it didn't seem like you were that freaking out. You were calm, especially in the ninth inning of Game 5 of the World Series. Can you explain what was going on in your head? Were you calm?
Yeah, I really... Man, I wasn't too worked up. I'll be honest, I didn't really throw the ninth because we had Kenley. Kenley's, you know, this stud reliever that's been in the league for, you know, over a decade now. And so for me, it's just, I did throw in a lot of, like, innings that, you know, they were strenuous on me early on. And that was a little interesting kind of getting thrown into a role where it doesn't matter if it's like the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth. You're facing, you know, X, Y, and Z each time out. And there always seemed to be, like, high leverage situations. So, whether it was like the sixth inning facing Tatis, Machado, Grisham, Pham, like, or the ninth inning against, you know, another team, it didn't matter to me because I've been put in situations where I had to, you know, my focus really had to be there from pitch one of the season through, you know, the last pitch I threw in the season. And I think what the Dodgers had done for me throughout the regular season prepared me for those moments. And, you know, I've closed before. I've been fortunate enough to have those opportunities, and so it really wasn't any added stress throwing the ninth. It was just the World Series, so and it was fun. I just feel like, you know, God gave me some peace, and I was just able to go out and compete with the gift that he gave me.
Did you expect that you were going to get that call, that you were going to go out in the ninth? And is it like, it just seems like, do you go to bed head to pillow the night before thinking about it while you're sitting in the bullpen the entire game? When you're up 4-2 and you kind of look around and you see who's there and who's not, how much do you think about what's about to come, or can you get away from that and just live in the moment?
Well, I've you know, the one thing that they always talked about in the bullpen was just be prepared for anything. And, you know, Kinley and I had both thrown the two previous days, and we just probably both knew that it was either going to be matchup-based or, you know, if Kinley was sore, then it was either going to be, you know, well, ended up being myself, but it could have been a handful of other people. So the part of the lineup that came up just happened to be part of the lineup that they had prepared me for at any point in the World Series, whatever game it might have been. So I'm sure that's why it led to me closing Game 5. But if it had been a different part of the lineup, they could have easily gone to, you know, Kolarik or McGee or Joe or anybody that, you know, on paper matches up, you know, extremely well. So I was just fortunate enough that it matched up for me to go in, and I guess it's an experience that I probably won't forget.
Blake Treinen with us. Just signed an extension. Stay with the Dodgers for the next few seasons. Very exciting considering he's the guy that was standing on the mound that closed out the World Series in that Game 6, a 4-2 victory, one inning, two Ks, and of course, no runs in that victory, and he'll be coming back for the 2021 season. Going back to what you said about the series against Tatis and Machado and those San Diego Padres here in Southern California, just a couple hours south of us, and made a lot of noise, a lot of social media activity after trades of who they acquired. What? How do you feel as a pitcher about the so-called, and I feel like such an idiot saying it, but just the swag?
They're so swaggy, so pimping up the hits. They're the swaggiest team in the West, they say.
Is that an issue with you at all when you're on the mound, how Tatis or Machado might act after they hit the ball?
No, I mean, look, if I'm going to get pumped up for striking somebody out in a World Series, or I'm going to get pumped up for striking somebody out in a big situation, hitters are allowed to be excited when they get big hits. The only issue that draws me, and I'm not saying these guys do it per se, but you know, there are people in the league that whenever there's this movement of do what feels natural. I mean, you want to throw your bat 500 feet in the air and gallop and skip and chest bump. And I mean, that's just kind of what's accepted in the game. And that's fine. But, you know, like if you're going to accept that, people's approaches too, you know, if Gratterall wants to turn around and throw his glove 20 yards across the field and fling his hat like he's a matador, then I mean, you got to accept that too. So, you know, I think those guys are extremely talented. They're not, I don't think they're like anybody's goal is to go out and disrespect. So I know a lot of people talk about swag and like the old school mentality really struggles with it. It took me a while to get on board with it. I'm not really a swaggy guy myself. Oh, I just like on. To play the game, put my nose down and just go get outs and move on. But you know, that's not everybody. Everybody likes to have their own approach to the game, and those guys are extremely talented. You know, they bring good energy to the game. And they only got better. So I think we only just respect your opponent. And you know, our team is extremely good too. And we didn't really lose anybody. I mean, other than, you know, what we did. We've had a couple of guys that are still on the market that are really good. But that team's still extremely deep. And
hey, man, I'll tell you one thing. If Gratterall wants to do a head spin, let him do it. You know,
damn right. Do the helicopter.
Last thing for you, Blake, and we're so happy for you joining us, and we're happy for you and your family, and congratulations on all the success you've had. When you live in L.A. and life is so complicated, and the freeways are what they are, and you know everything's how it is, do you ever just long for the plains of Kansas and just to go back and live a simple?
You know, people keep throwing Kansas at me. I live in Washington State now, but I grew up in Kansas, so a lot of my life
I mean, everything it says Kansas. What about Baker University? You know, you were going to go be a Wildcat.
I mean, 1 year. Yeah, it was 1 year. You know, I 1 year of my college career, I was at Baker, as in Kansas, and the rest I was 1 year in Arkansas and 3 in South Dakota. I was a nomad until I made Washington my mainstay.
So you're a man of the North. Is that what you're telling us?
I enjoy the Northwest. I love the mountains. I love, you know, the lake scenes, and it's just where we're at. It's just real quiet. We got great community. So I just, you know, for us, it's just a little bit slow. A little bit. It's nice to just kind of get away and just be part of your community back home and enjoy your family, your church, and just, you know, get away from the busy life a little bit.
When you're up there in the woods, up in the Northwest, do you ever flip on the Alice in Chains and listen to the rooster while you're out there traipsing around the woods, maybe hunting a little bit? You know, that good Northwest flavor? No?
I don't think so.
You might want to think about this one as a walkout for you for next year.
And they come to snuff the rooster.
Okay. Yeah, think about it. No, seriously. I mean, I want you to consider it. You know, not just okay. You know, I mean, come on.
Help two idiots like this remember Eastern Washington's your spot.
Yeah. Because then everybody would know. No one's going to talk about Kansas.
we were going to play Dust in the Wind on the way out.
Right.
And we just ended up.
I like Kansas. That group, I used to jam with them.
See? Now we're totally confused, Blake.
I'm big Kansas fan.
All right. We could not be more confused.
Where did you grow up at? I mean, you still have like some deep roots where you grew up.
It's true.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, do you long for the freaking Plains? We'll play Dust in the Wind. All right. Here we go. All right.
Now we're going.
Okay. Dust in the Wind. Go for it.
There we go.
Close my eyes, man. Just for a moment. And I won the World
Series.
Won the World Series. I closed them again. I opened them up. Signed a big deal. Things are going great for me and the Bulldog and the wife.
Yeah.
We love you, Blake, and congratulations, man. Congratulations. And bringing a championship to this city, I know you know how meaningful it is to the people here. So God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Hey, likewise for you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Blake. Hit it, Cates.
Here we go. Pass before my eyes a curiosity. He tried to deny Kansas like Peter denied Christ.
All we are is dust in the wind. Same old song. Just a drop of water in an endless sea.
Blake Trinan, everybody. We'll be right back with your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day. Sponsorship here.
Crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see.
The Petros and Money Show.
PMS.
Podcasted at am570lasports.com.
A show that is like a Chinese star covered in blue chew.
That's actually literally what one half of the show is.
The Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports Live.
What two things define you? Huh? Martial arts weapons and boner drugs.
Everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We like to call them performance-enhancing medication for men.
Is that what it is?
Today, Matt, we got...
Great sports talk.
Clippers taking on the Golden State Warriors, which is exciting news.
Who do you like?
I like the Warriors.
Warriors big.
Clippers lost last night.
But I was following Adam Oslin's Twitter feed.
Well, he's with us today. You know, he's right across the way. He's getting ready for the show. You know, he's 6 o'clock. He's going to take over.
When he tweeted out, Kawhi Leonard is in Terminator mode, I was like, whew, might be time for me to start watching my first couple minutes of NBA basketball. I don't want to miss a Terminator on the floor.
I saw that tweet. At follow Adam A.
Did it get you to tune in to Noah Eagle?
I saw it this morning. At Matt Money Smith on Twitter, if you want to look at Twitter. At Tim Cates on Twitter, if you want to look at Twitter. At Petros and Money is the show's Twitter. And at the old P is me. And, okay, it is time for the Dead Guy birthday of the day.
We are your survival of the fittest show of record. We are your live off the land show of record.
Oh, there's no doubt. Bare bones living, that's us.
And we are.
Knives for our lives.
You want a piece of me, Mr. Grizzly Bear? Well, come and mother effing get it, show of record.
We are your bear rape preventation show of record.
So we have to celebrate Jedediah Strong Smith.
Read a lot about Jedediah Smith and Jim Bridger.
That's why they named me Jed. Jedediah Smith would have been 221 today. He's a pioneer, explorer, ass kicker. Fearless a constitution as any man that ever walked on North American soil. And the namesake of Jed, the character played by Patrick Swayze in 1984's Red Dawn.
Nice. And Jed Fish, Arizona coach.
I don't get the sense that Jed Fish possesses any of the traits that Jedediah Smith possesses.
He cracked a cactus and is drinking out of it right now as you're saying that.
Father owned a general store, got a little sideways on him, so he fled the law to Erie County, PA, where Jedediah started working with the fur traders on Lake Erie freighters. Left home around 16, Ohio, Missouri.
Traders on the freighters.
Connected with General William H. Ashley, Major Andrew Henry.
Oh, General Ashley. Oh, Ashley. Kiss me, Ashley. Hold me, Ashley.
Vets of the War of 1812, they were forming a fur trade partnership that would explore and compete with the British fur trade all the way in the Pacific Northwest. Missouri River took him all the way to Montana through the Rocky Mountains. He battled with the Arikaras of North Dakota, and he was celebrated as a hero. He was not branded. He was not scorned as the one who ran. Because when they were ambushed and lost 12 of their 19 men, he was at the front. fighting.
All but seven died.
To hold them off so the other seven could survive. They say he was a real ass kicker that cut a fearful pose. Ice blue eyes, broad shoulders, strong hands, square jaw. He was in the party that was the first Euro-American people to explore the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Uh-oh. A lot of angry Native Americans there toward the white man there.
And bears that were angry toward the white man.
Rapist bears.
Because that's where he was attacked by a bear, tackled, broke his ribs, ripped open his side with its claws, put his head in its mouth before he was able to get a few licks in with his blade. That's your cutlery show of record. I believe you would appreciate that.
I like that.
Forced the bear to retreat. Others in the party quickly administered first aid.
Hard to load a gun back in those days.
Yeah. Including, at his direction, sewing half of his ear back on to his person. Connected with the Crow and Iroquois, set up trading partnerships with both, helped them fetch much better prices for their furs than the British were willing to give them. Expanded the operation all the way out to California, made his way through Utah and Nevada, connected with parties along the way, built out more of a fur trade empire, got to the Mojave, San Berdoo.
Nice.
Where upon his arrival, he was arrested immediately.
Oh.
By Jose Maria Enchanadia's men. They called him a spy. They took him to San Diego to meet that governor. After a month, he was freed. They said, get the hell out of here. So what did he do? He took a boat to Pedro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hung out there for a little while.
San Pedro, California?
Yeah. Said they had to break in the horses before they mounted and made their way to the Central Valley. Sacramento, Oregon County.
He went all the way through to San Joaquin Valley, up into the Willamette.
Did it all. Unfortunately, that's where he ran into the Umpquas.
Oh.
And his entire party was slaughtered. They had 250 horses, they 700 beaver skins.
Very officious, the Umpquas. You know, it's in the name, Ump.
Right. Some bad calls by those Umpquas. Because only he and Arthur Black escaped. Made it to the gate of the Hudson Bay Company at Fort Vancouver. They were nursed back to health. They recovered those beaver skins, 39 of their horses. He cashed them all in and took it back to his home in Missouri. Thought he would retire there. Unfortunately, he got that itch. 1831. Hit the Santa Fe Trail. Right around present-day southwest Kansas. Ran into Comanche.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we fought a lot of Native Americans.
Attempted to communicate, negotiate with them. And according to eyewitness accounts, recognized that they were having none of it. And that party of 20 Comanche surrounded him. And he decided, well, I'm going to go out.
Oh, he went Grand Theft Auto. He took a stand.
Identified the chief, shot him, killed him immediately, took down two others before he was beaten mercilessly to death. He knew what was coming. He got three of them.
How old was he?
He was in his 50s.
Okay.
His legacy, the first white man to cross the future state of Nevada, the first to conquer the High Sierra of California, the first to explore the entire Pacific slope from Lower California to the banks of the Columbia River.
Oh, I bet he explored some slopes.
I've seen
it. It's a lot of curves in the land.
Yes,
the Willamette.
Exactly. His explorations are the, they were the foundation of the Pacific West maps. And I had it wrong. He did not make it into his 50s. He was 32.
Whoa! Lived a hell of a life.
Right?
Retired in Missouri at like 29 and then got the itch.
You know what? Maybe I'm just going to settle down here with this $17,000 I acquired for my horses and furs in Oregon. No, I get back out on that Santa Fe Trail.
Well, okay, Matt, you're a live guy birthday of the day. Not Jedediah Smith level. But pretty hardcore, beating out the excellent actor Eddie Redmayne and the Chen Bot. Yesterday, I did the greatest flautist of the 20th century.
We're your flautist show, Frank.
We are. Monday, the greatest Jamaican Euro disco star ever.
We are your Jamaican Euro disco star show of record.
Today, Alan Stivell. Yeah. 77 years old today. Tonight. The preeminent name. In Celtic music. Superstar,
talking.
Matt.
Now we're talking.
Now this is a pretty more contemporary. This is like him today, or these days. That's the Celtic harp.
Beautiful.
Which he is very good at. Born in France to a Celtic dad. His dad taught him the deep ways with the Celtic harp.
He is the greatest Celtic harp player of all time. And his father also taught him the ways of Celtic mythology. The Screaming Banshee, the bagpipes, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale's elbows.
I feel like those last two might not be included.
Drums, the Irish flute. But mostly Alan is a master of this instrument here, the Celtic harp. But also the tin whistle.
Oh,
vocals.
Good tin whistle.
Feathered hair of Danny Ainge. Something called the bombard. And he shreds on the guitar.
We are your Tasty Licks and Colorful Chord show off record, too.
I heard he played at Tommy Heinsohn's funeral. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure the request was put in. Unfortunately, the pandemic prevented his attendance
and performance. Can't get in the country.
Can't do it.
Started recording in the 60s. Brought Brenton music and Celtic culture to the world. He got big in the 70s. Here he is, dude.
This is the old school.
This is him singing.
Okay, let's get it.
Listen to him sing. This is go full Celtic.
Hold on, let me grab my shillelagh real quick.
This is like, he does that weird language that no one speaks anymore. Brenton or whatever it's called.
What do you mean nobody speaks it? What do you think we'd do at home when I get out of this gym?
Gaelic.
Peyton's Gaelic for strong woman. Why do you think I named her that?
That was because of running back.
Yeah, might have been a little of each.
He's been popular for many years now. I mean, you go to a Ren fair, this guy.
Right?
This guy's got the biggest boobed girl on his lap with the biggest shank of lamb in his hand and the biggest goblet of mead in his other.
I gotta say, a little bit more like some of the traditional Greek village music you play than I would have thought.
Well, let's flip it to English. This is a famous Irish song called "The Foggy Dew."
There we go.
What you're thinking about is the chanting.
With the bazook behind it.
Yeah, the little bazooki. Alan has worked with everybody from Shane McGowan to the Chieftains to the Simple Minds. Jimmy Kerr is his boy.
Love that.
Not bad to trip out and smoke some Irish clovers, too, if you know what I'm saying. You know, we got a St. Patrick's Day approaching.
Sure do.
Turn it up a little. You know, the white man doesn't get enough love in this world, is he? Turn to die neath an Irish sky.
Fighting bears and Celtic music.
Oh, bear rape. This is music to rape a human by if you're a bear.
This is what I want to listen to.
This is a great Irish war song. Unknown author. Sinead O'Connor does a great version with the Chieftains. All right.
Oh, I thought the drums were just kicking in.
Yeah, they do. It's too bad. Well, good night.
Four hours tomorrow.
Adam's coming up with excuses for the Clippers' 3-point loss last night.
Kawhi's in Terminator mode. What about that last second shot that would have tied the game?
Well, who's in liquid Terminator mode on the Spurs? Tomorrow?
That one guy.
DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah. Plus the other guy, too.